welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. It's episode number 541. My name's James Gilmore. Join me today is Matthew Ford.
Hello, sir.
And we are not going to mention anything about WandaVision or the spoilers that everyone is apparently unleashing all over the internet. Matthew's seen it and I haven't.
I have. Make sure you watch it as soon as you can. Yeah. The great thing I did this morning is get up early and watch it. And I'm going to do that from now on. Like, you just have to in this day and age. We were saying before the show, you know, you can barely go 24 hours for the internet.
Well, it's Game of Thrones all over again, isn't it? It's the ruination because the Americas get it first and then we wake up and open up the first browser, the first tab, and then immediately spoil everything for a whole season. So thanks for that, the internet. Don't worry, we won't be doing any ruining on this show because we're good and nice like that. We're here to give you useful information that won't spoil your day. Information like a release date for Near Reincarnation in Japan, anyway. Some news about the ongoing Google Stadia story, which may be coming to an end a little sooner than we thought. Some Wayward Souls update info and big news regarding Apex Legends and mobile devices, plus a whole bunch of new releases, including The Captain is Dead, Infinity Kingdom, QB Adventure World, Crimson Company, and more. But first, the news. You've been chatting near for months now, it seems, and we promised you an update when we knew more, when we knew things like dates, and finally we have something. So, Near Reincarnation, the mobile exclusive incarnation of the series, is coming to Japan on the 18th of February on both iOS and Android, which is interesting for us because as soon as there's a concrete Japanese release date, then it means usually we're talking a couple of months, isn't it, between kind of the East and the West.
Typically, yeah.
Yeah. So doesn't mean it's going to be popping up next week, but it does mean that we are looking at a 2021 release in the UK probably and the Americas too. And as a little teaser for those of us who can't download it immediately, they released the opening cinematic for Near Reincarnation, which you can currently see over on Pocket Gamer, which looks suitably weird, Matthew.
It does. I didn't have a clue what was happening in this trailer. There was obviously it was very Japanese. There was lots of black and white and then fades to colour and bits of 2B. She's the protagonist. That's yeah. The limit of my knowledge.
I know about the game through other people playing it and waxing messianic about it. But yeah, it's doing that genre switching thing already where it's like a 2D cartoonish side scroller and then suddenly it's a big 3D thing and you're viewing it from an elevated third person perspective and then it's top down. And I understand it jumps between genres and that's part of its bag. But other people know more than me. So the other thing, obviously, if you do have access to international accounts somehow, then it does mean you could theoretically get hold of it earlier, depending on whether it's premium or free to play, I don't know. So we are going to do our best to get our hands on this very soon and post some stuff about it. So stay tuned for more. Now, if you've been listening to the podcast for a long time, years, then you'll know about the Google Stadia business. We have covered it because it was one of the first things before Project xCloud that brought the console world crashing into the mobile space. And it's working out pretty good for Xbox and Microsoft. Not so much Google. Because they announced today that they... Not today, they announced this week that Google Stadia is closing its first-party game studio internal development thing. Mm. They had set up their own little dev team to start making games, Google Stadia games made by Google, and that was just an announcement. No games appeared, and now before even the first game is finished, they have shut it down.
That's the thing. They announced the studio after they'd released the streaming service. Like, this wasn't a couple of years in the making. They announced that. And then, you know, game development is not a short process. I don't know what the expectation was. Were they going to get a game out in 12 months of the level to compete with, you know, Xbox, PlayStation, Nintendo? You know, these development cycles take 3 to 4 years minimum. And they just haven't been given that time.
No, and it doesn't bode particularly well for the service as a whole. Now, to confirm, they have said they are not going to be investing further, that's the quote, in exclusive content from internal development teams. But what they are planning to do is open up the tech to publishers and other people. And by the tech, I think they mean just the streaming tech in general. And I don't know if they're just talking about like, all right, well, we'll give access to the tech to other publishers so they can continue to publish on our platform. Or we're going to kind of give you guys the tools that you need to set up your own streaming services outside of Stadia. Like, it's very vague at this point.
I just don't know who would want it either.
No, well, this is the problem. Unfortunately, I think this is a case of Xbox swooping in and, like, in very, very quickly and easily delivering a far better service with which offers far better value and cross-platform tie-in and everything. So this, to me, is maybe, I was going to say the first nail in the coffin. It's probably about the fifth.
Yeah, we're nearly there, unfortunately. I mean, they laid off about 150 people. So obviously, it's terrible to see, you know, they've brought on so much talent from around the industry. Lots of people from Sony Santa Monica and other big names. Jade Redmond, obviously, yeah, she's heading it up from EA, all been laid off. And it just sucks, you know, it's terrible for, you know, especially in this economy now.
I know. And obviously, with people who've spent money on the platform now, it's looking like that may have been money down the drain a little bit. However, they are still going to be supporting the platform. They're not shutting it down yet.
Yeah, we believe them.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if a shutdown date would be on the horizon at some point. And this is a case of the right idea, but not quite executed correctly. And someone else has kind of swooped in and gone, hey, you want to do like streaming? Then have 150 games straight off the bat. And if you've got Game Pass, you've already got access. You have to buy a £120 pro controller sign up and then start buying games inside of that and, you know, all the rest of it. So
I'm fascinated to see the actual sales and numbers surrounding it, because it won't be good whatsoever.
No, I think the drop off just for Destiny during the first couple of weeks was so massive.
Oh yeah, massive. It's just also Google can keep investing in this. Google are loaded, you know, to pull out this quick. You know, they've done this historically. They're very known for it. Obviously, Google, not eyeglass, what is it called? The glasses. Google glasses?
Google Glass.
I don't understand what they were expecting in 18 months. Were they really going to topple PlayStation and Xbox and, you know, the mobile market and everyone just go straight to them? It was never going to happen. And it also makes you wonder about Amazon, you know, because they're obviously sort of making their way into the industry and haven't been able to crack it.
No, but then, as you say, they've got money to burn. They can afford to throw like some bad cash at it, watch it burn, and then just like carry on and try it again in a bit. Like, it doesn't really matter. The lights are slowly dimming on Google Stadia. However, I mentioned last week that I was going to be trying the big cross-platform experiment
with Sea of Thieves.
Sea of Thieves, exactly. Yes. And we did it. We've done it twice, in fact. We were playing last night. And let me tell you, we've got myself and one friend of mine both playing, one playing Xbox Series X, one playing Xbox Series S. Then I've got another friend who is playing it on their PC via the Game Pass. And then a fourth friend who is playing it entirely on mobile. This fourth friend doesn't even have an Xbox, but he's got the Game Pass stuff. He's got his phone and he's got a controller. And that's the setup. So four of us all on different platforms, technically. And it works brilliantly, like flawlessly. I was so surprised. And this wasn't just like, oh, we played it for 10 minutes before it broke and then signed off. No, we were playing for like a good 2 to 3 hours each time, and the only issues we had was my mate on PC like not working out how to get his mic working. that was the issue. Brilliant. Like, he was the one who had issues, not mobile phone boy. He was absolutely fine, and he's been playing stuff all week, and it's been really fascinating to see someone who doesn't have an Xbox go in and experience all the Xbox content for the first time through his phone. And he's been sending us little videos and this and that. And it's like, it shows you how interesting the optimization process is for different ones, which is, for example, like playing on a tiny little screen with a controller. He's like, so Doom Eternal, great game. When you're running around shooting from the hip, big shotgun style, it's great. If you're trying to snipe people, it's near impossible because the screen is small and the characters on screen are so small. And obviously it's optimized for people to be playing it on a much larger television. So everything is shrunk down in a way that maybe isn't quite as good. And obviously you do get, you know, slight drops in performance, so it will drop frames here and there, and naturally, it will scale the resolution. So some things work better than others, but it all works. Like, none of it is completely unplayable.
The future is now.
It's really surprisingly good. And I think he's there just like sitting there playing Doom Eternal in bed in the morning, like he's got a Switch, because he's got the clamp now, the little clip you can put onto an Xbox and then put your phone in it. An Xbox controller, sorry. Yeah, the experiment's going pretty well, and I'm impressed by how smooth the whole process is. So yeah, mobile is everything now.
Yes.
Console is mobile. Mobile is console. It's all one glorious, glorious thing.
What's going to be the next stage then? Are you going to ramp things up with like what's after Sea of Thieves? What could you go for? Are you going to go for something like Destiny or?
Well, yeah, in terms of multiplayer, you've got like Destiny. I suppose you've got Rocket League. You've got Gears multiplayer, but that I can't be bothered with because Gears 5 is bleh.
Or Apex Legends.
Hang on, is that on Game Pass?
It's what, it's free to play, isn't it?
Oh yeah, good point. That's true actually. Although if it's free to play, will he be able to get it as part of game? I don't know. We're going to a grey area here. I'm not sure. But speaking of Apex Legends, we might as well dive straight in here with the mobile ports. And I say ports because we have got potential confirmation. Well, confirmation of a mobile port existing, but we don't have the solid release date. And more concrete news about the Switch one, haven't we?
We have, yes. So finally, it's coming to Nintendo Switch on March 9th. 2021, so it's not like even next year. It's, a month away at this point?
Yeah, a few weeks.
Season 8 of Apex Legends has just kicked off a couple of days ago, and like they're going to bring out loads of content for that as well. Like, it's very exciting. Like, I'm a massive Apex Legends player. Well, it was my top played game overall on PlayStation in both 2019 and 2020, because I got my stats through.
This is in terms of hours played, isn't
it? Yeah, well, supposedly, in the stats, it mentions that I also played like only 2 hours online.
Which doesn't really...
That doesn't match up
tally
whatsoever.
Tally up with Apex, no.
No. So this is obviously the Battle Royale game from Respawn, who did the Titanfall series and then did Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
They did indeed. And before that, of course, they were like OG Call of Duty boys.
They were, yes. So this is obviously a big deal finally coming to Switch. It's being ported by Panic Button, who actually did the port of Doom Eternal, funny enough.
Oh, okay, cool.
So it's in good hands, because everyone says that is supposed to be one of the best ports around for Switch.
Both the Doom ports have been good for Switch, actually, yeah.
So it's going to support crossplay, going to have their latest seasonal content, and full feature parity with other versions of the game, which is interesting what it means by that, because certain progression and that sort of thing hasn't crossed over, because I play it on everything, PC, Xbox, and PlayStation.
Right.
So this will be interesting to see what actually crosses over in that way. I'm not sure.
Because you're saying there are some features you can play on, like you get on PlayStation that don't appear on PC or something.
It's more your progression, and obviously because you've got so much to unlock. So I don't know if that's going to cross over whatsoever. I doubt it. But I think for the most part, most of the modes and everything like that will be there. And then finally, we seem to be getting some information out about the mobile port, which is going to be soft launched. Apparently, nothing concrete, as you say. In Q2 or Q3?
Q2 in China, and that's going to be the test bed, apparently. So Q2 is in like basically March, April, May, June, somewhere around there. And then apparently, you know, maybe it'll, after the soft launch, appear towards the end of the year. But this is all kind of guesswork at the minute. But it has at least been sort of loosely confirmed that a mobile port exists, which means it'll officially be on everything. Every single platform, which is pretty strong. And does throw a massive spanner in the works for the likes of, well, on mobile at least, Fortnite, because as we sit here right now, it's still unavailable on the App Store and the Google Play Stores. You can still sideload it on Android, of course, but, you know, it's effectively vanished from the platform unless you really search for it. And or PUBG, which is still, you know, riding high on both platforms and everything, but Apex has grown substantially. It has done well. It's been one of the competitors that succeeded, inverted commas, isn't it?
Yeah, especially in the early days. I believe it was higher than Fortnite on Twitch momentarily in its opening days. And it has obviously continued to grow and added seasons. And as I say, we're in season 8 now. And it has got a very solid hardcore base behind it.
And let's be clear, like, nothing's going to topple Fortnite. It's too big a thing now. And when you look at Fortnite versus the other games, it's kind of like a league ahead. But this is still doing very well by any metric, so it's cool that it'll be coming to mobile, and the mobile versions of all the other games have shown it can be done, and I trust Respawn because they're really good, and even though I haven't played Apex, I bloody love Titanfall 2. It was superb. It's some of the best shooting.
They are a quality company, so I'm interested to see who actually does the mobile version, because I'm not sure if it will actually be Respawn. I mean, imagine they partner with a studio.
My head immediately says Tencent, because they've got their money behind practically everything at this point.
Pretty much.
We'll let you know regarding their mobile version, and of course the Switch version will be covered in March when it comes out in great detail. I'll be talking to you, Matt, because you'll be the man to go to for this.
I will, yeah. Fuse, new character. Looking forward to it.
Nice. Out and about this week. We'll start with The Captain Is Dead, which is a mobile adaptation of a board game. I think it was one of those Kickstarter things, perhaps. But we have been playing this for a little while, or at least we've played snippets of it, because they worked with us during our Launchpad event. Another one of which is coming up in the next 2 weeks or so.
Bit of a tease.
Yeah. The I think, what is it, third Launchpad event coming out next month. So 2 days of streaming and new releases and summaries of the best stuff out at the minute and all over on Twitch, and go and sign up.
More James as well.
Yes, more me. and other people too. But this is a board game which was created and is based around the idea of that bit in Star Trek where the ship has just been hit with a catastrophic bit of damage. So, I don't know, some Romulans have come in and they've taken out the naysails and you need to split the ship in two and everything's about to blow up. And so you start there at the point of crisis.
Okay.
And what you've got to do is the overall goal is to repair the drive, repair the warp drive, and then pew, warp out. That's your end game. But the way that you do that is you have to manage the crew, you have to deal with the state that the ship is in, and you do it all in a sort of... I mean, imagine FTL, where you can see cross-sections of the ship top-down, but this is more 3D and cartoony. And you are, you know, taking crew members and pushing them to each individual room, and they've got to repair the engine compartment, and over here we've got to deal with the oxygen, because the oxygen's just broken, God, no! And all while this is happening, aliens are jumping onto the ship and trying to board and take over command and all that. So, turn-based, board gamey sort of business. We played a bunch of the pre-release version, and we were enjoying it. It does require a bit of onboarding. It's one of those ones where you have to learn the rules and learn the order and the strange ways where some of the characters move, mm-hmm. while some of them can teleport and some can't. And so there's a bit of work to be done there. But the art style is very good. I looked at the original board game and watched some playthroughs of that, and they've done a very good job of kind of keeping the essence of the board game alive.
Right. Transitioned it across quite well. Like, is it similar, yeah. like colourful... aesthetic.
Yes, very yeah. much so. Like the colourful style is very similar. If you looked at the board that you play it on, it's very, very similar. So they've done a nice job there. And they've also brought in some good people. They've used the guy, the VO dude from the Stanley Parable, and a couple of actors who were like Elias Dufresnes? I'm
yeah,
not sure.
Let's go with that.
Yeah, from Star Trek Discovery and The Expanse and all that. So they've got some people in, they've put some money behind it, and it is premium to reflect that. So it's a PC build as well for $15, or the mobile one for $8.99. We'll probably review it, I would think. But in the meantime, if you know you like the game and you immediately want to jump on board, then go and check it out right now. The Captain is dead. We'll get back to new releases. You've been playing something that's been out for a little bit, but it's consumed your week nonetheless. What have you been playing?
Ghost Runner.
Right.
Have you seen this at all?
I've seen it and we haven't talked about it really.
Yeah, so it's from 505 Games and All In Games. And it's basically Cyberpunk times Mirror's Edge.
Yeah, this is the first person running around jumpy business.
Yeah, it consumed a lot of my time over Christmas, to be honest. And then I've jumped back into it recently for reasons that I'll come on to.
Switch, right? This is Switch.
This is Switch, yeah. It's pretty much on most consoles. It doesn't seem to be coming to mobile for the minute. Don't know if you could bring it across just because of... You potentially could. I mean, obviously you could play it on xCloud and that sort of thing. But you play as Jack the Ghost Runner. You basically just wake up and you have this voice in your head called Whisper, just talking to you and saying, oh, you're alive. You've got to get out of here. You've got to escape. And you just immediately, you set off and you're running through all these environments. First person view, wall running, grappling, avoiding anything hazardous. It seems a bit of like, you know... taking down a corporation, that sort of similar story with...
Like Mirror's Edge, then.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of Mirror's Edge in this. I have seen video and I'm even watching some now. The main question for this stuff, because they've always got their little story business and the rest of it, and I see they've even got their own slowdown mechanic, because you've got to have a slowdown mechanic, haven't
yes,
you?
Yes, the sensory boost.
Yeah, bullet time, let's just call it what it is. but the question is, how does it feel? Because the problem with all of these games is first-person perspective platforming is one of those things that most of the time doesn't work, and because you can't see your feet and you can't judge, it can feel very awkward and hit and miss. Do you feel confident doing what you're doing? Do you feel like you're in control?
I do, yes. I think it feels great. You do die a lot. It's one of these games which you do repeat. And yeah. by the end of the first time you do a level, it tallies up your deaths and you're averaging, you know, anywhere between 20 to 70. Like, okay. It's just one of those things that you're constantly relearning it. But that's one of the most interesting things for me. You know, the first level, I've done probably about 30, 40 times now just to perfect it.
Instant restarts?
Yes.
Most important thing, dying a lot is fine, provided you can jump straight back in the game. When it's like you die and then you have to wait 30 seconds, that's what just kills any momentum.
Yes, that'd be horrible for this. The only thing is there's a bit of loading when you're actually loading the actual levels. That can take quite a while, but when you're in, you're in. There was some bugs. This is actually why I stopped playing it over Christmas. I was getting quite a lot of crashing. They have released a new update now, which is why I've jumped back in, and it does seem to be working a lot better. No crashing this time, but just certain things like you've got to jump on fans at times to like get some momentum to go up a level, and the fans are not being turned on.
Right.
So I was just reading it on a Reddit forum. It's like, yeah, you're trapped here. You've got to basically try and parkour it up the wall and, you know, do extra thing. And I managed to do it, thankfully, but it's just little things like that, teething issues. Although it has been out a while now, so I don't know if I could say it, teething issues. But apart from that, I think it's such a wonderful, creative, fun game. And it feels so satisfying to complete a level. And arguably the best Cyberpunk game out there at the minute.
Burn. Yes. All right, then. Well, Ghost Runner currently available and has been since, I guess, October of last year, I suppose. But yeah, I like the look of it. And I quite liked Mirror's Edge. I was one of the people who liked the idea. I'm not 100% on the execution, but I like the idea of minimal combat and just running about. It looks like fun. Well, we've got some other things out this week that are mobile-based, so we'll skip through a few things here. First one we'll talk about is Crimson Company, which is a card game. I don't know if it's conversion or Kickstarter or something, but this is one of these ones where you are effectively taking control of a castle, but the castle is just a card in the middle of the table, and you play it around with three of these cards, each representing a castle. And then the idea is they throw four cards down on the table, and then you have some cash and your opponent has some cash, and you have to buy the cards and then stick them behind one of those three cards that are in the middle of the table, one of the three castles. And the idea is, once someone has got four cards in a row behind the castle, they add up all the points on the cards, and whoever has the most points claims that castle. That's the mechanic. So get four cards behind it and make sure you've got the most points. Each of the cards will have different values on them, hence the points, and they also have different characters, which means that there'll be some skills and perks associated with them. The element that's interesting in this game is it's not gambling, but it's a money-based thing. So you bid on the cards. That's how you acquire them. You don't just go, I'll have that one, and then pay for it. Mm-hmm. The idea is the cards have no cost. You just go, right, I want that card. I've got six coins. I'm going to offer three. And then the next move is your opponent gets to either say, okay, pass, which means you pay three coins and you get the card.
Yep.
Or they can overbid. They can take their cash and go, all right, I want to pay four coins.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get that card. But the twist is, they pay their four coins and get the card, but you get all the money back. So you get the three coins that you originally bid,
plus theirs.
And you get their four coins as well.
Do you get a second chance to bid on it?
No. Just that. It's just, you put your money down, you make your offer, and then they either go, fine, and then you lose the money, or they go, overbid by one coin, and then they get the card, but you get a lot of cash back.
Ah, so there's quite a bit of tactics to it.
Yeah, so it winds up being that, like, do I want the card that badly, or do I take all the money? Do I effectively more than double my money and then use that the next turn to start overbidding on a card I know I definitely want? Because you can obviously see the other four cards, and you can see the next card that's going to be dealt out onto the table. It's dead simple, like really easy to pick up and learn. I actually like the gambling mechanic, the do I or don't I of it all. And I've been having fun just playing the AI. It is PvP, if you want to do it that way. The problem I encountered was that the tutorial is not very well written.
Oh.
So when the text is popping up, it's quite badly explained. But luckily, it's simple enough that you just get it.
Yeah, it says it takes 20 minutes as well to do a duel, which is pretty good, like time-wise.
Yeah, it didn't even take that long for me, like, because smashing through it quite fast. But yeah, apart from the text, it's very simple but decent enough presentation. I actually like this, and I'm not like spend all my day playing card games, but no, I'm quite impressed. So Crimson Company is the name of that one. I don't know if it's, no, it's free to download, and that's currently available if you want to give it a go. Let's go platformy, I suppose. Platformy, take the Crossy Road, there you go. Take the.
God, I'm glad you got there. I did not know we were
way longer than it should have. Yeah, so take that blocky style of Crossy Road, right? And have it being an isometric perspective, top down. And then take that and smash it together with Temple Run. And that's kind of what QB Adventure is. So your character automatically runs along these very narrow platforms. When he reaches a corner, instead of turning left automatically, there is a tile on the floor with a left arrow on it. And you have to tap the screen in time. Otherwise, you just run to the edge and sort of sit there looking awkward. So you have to tap, and the character turns 90 degrees and carries on running. And then they need to turn right. So you tap again when you hit that tile. And so it's almost got that rhythm platforming thing to it where you're going tap, 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 just at the exact moment they hit the pad on the floor. Then you have to start tapping on the screen to jump over obstacles. There's a little charge thing that builds up that lets you smash through obstacles, provided you've charged it up. But it very much feels like that Temple Run. Do you want to go left or do you want to go right? And you have to, you know, in Temple Run, it was swiping at the right time, and this is tapping. But the presentation style is blocky. The actual second-to-second gamey-gamey stuff is quite nice. The presentation is way too obnoxious for me.
Adorable.
It's screaming in my face. Like, the whole time, it feels like the game is shouting at me. Like, all the colors are too loud. All the sound effects are really annoying. The game, I don't mind. Simple, like, you know, stuff. But I can't play it for very long.
I thought you were converted after that cookie game the other week.
That was pretty... I guess that was pretty loud. You're right. But I was just impressed with the polish of that one. Never going to play it. But I was just impressed with the way that they'd done it. There was a lot of talent on display. Albeit misused talent. So, that is currently available right now. QB Adventure, that's free. We've got... What else have we got? Infinity Kingdom came out. It's a big kingdom builder, Matthew, with the two prongs of build up your kingdom by, you need to upgrade the castle. To upgrade the castle, you need to go and upgrade these walls and build a farm. And here, click this to speed up the transition. And blah, 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 blah. We've all played a billion of these. I don't really play them. You know, ever since... we have Supercell to thank for this. Ever since the original Clash of Clans, you know. Every game has to have this component. And then, outside the city walls, people turn up. Gnomes, in this case. Not goblins, not orcs, but gnomes are getting well leery and above their station. So you have to send out your army to deal with them. And it's kind of Greek mythology style, so you can summon... Your gacha summons are mythological characters from Greek history. So, you know, if you've played a God of War, you know what we're dealing with here. This is another one where, like, I like the animations. I like what they've done with the style. Because you summon Helen of Troy. Right. And Helen comes in. And she's presented as standing, like, either side of a magical mirror. So she's, like, her looking at her own reflection. And kind of she, like, you know, posing. And then she runs through the mirror and then gets absorbed. And she just pops out one side of the mirror. And then shrinks the mirror down and does a kind of, like, holds up the mirror and does a little, like, the V sign. Like, she's doing the kind of selfie, you know, cute. And so there's a little... And all that's really nicely done. And you're like, okay, it's
gives you a bit of personality.
Yeah. And I suppose this has been echoed in what we've had recently, which is Immortals Phoenix Rising, which is another kind of comedic, cartoony take on the Greek mythology. Yeah. So there's something in the water, I guess. And then they go into battles. And the battles are those ones where, again, as long as you've set everything up, you just sit there and watch it happen. And then special powers will charge and you tap them. Fine. I've played about an hour. That's as much as I care to.
Are the gnomes threatening? Like, I don't know if gnomes are really something...
Well, they've got mechanical scorpions. That's pretty threatening.
That's much better. Yeah, I'd rather fight them. That sounds much more interesting.
They've got that giant... You know, I suppose you've only played the remake, haven't you? The first boss in Final Fantasy VII, that giant scorpion...
Yep. I know exactly that.
That appears... Yeah, they've got that.
Oh.
Bastards. So, but yeah, and it is what it is. And it's just... It's a, you know, a nicely presented version of that game. I don't care. So, Infinity Kingdom, that's out right now. The last thing that we didn't get to play because we didn't get a code, and frankly, it costs
£17.99.
Whoa. Titan Quest Legendary Edition. So this is a PC game from way back in 2006 that they have decided to bring over, and the Legendary Edition is an updated version, all three DLC expansions, which is Atlantis and Ragnarok and the Immortal Throne. And this was coming to iPhone, iPad, and Android. So, if you were unfamiliar with the game, then great, big, massive RPG doodad. It looks like those modern, I guess, you know, Korean and Chinese RPGs where, you know, big attack button, four powers around the attack button, drag your character around, get into scraps in RPG level looty style.
Yeah, or the what the Hyrule Warriors game's based off. What is it called?
Dynasty Warriors. Yeah, well, Dynasty Warriors is very specific in as much as you're supposed to be controlling these massive, massive armies. I don't know if this is army wrangling. This is more heroes, you know, you and a group of heroes going around and kicking ass.
Okay.
I get the impression that this is much beloved. I wasn't a PC gamer in 2006, so I didn't play it. Looking at it, it looks like it's a big old lovely nostalgia buzz in the same way that, you know, I would go back and play maybe like a Fallout 2 because I'm into those RPGs or something like that.
Yeah, nostalgia is a bit on that.
Yeah. And this is obviously a pricey version of that nostalgia. So $17.99 or £17.99 on the App Store and Google Play. That's your Titan Quest Legendary Edition. when we got to the end of that without the storm completely ruining this recording, which is good. It's raging outside at the minute, and I've been listening to thundering rain on my roofs, ladies and gentlemen. But we made it through. So thank you all for listening, and we will, of course, be back next week. Or will we, he says. Ooh. Because Sony bloody Pocket Gamer Connect Digital number 5, Matthew.
It's happening.
You're hosting the track or two, aren't you, baby?
I am, yes. I've got a fireside chat next week.
Yeah, outstanding. So you've heard us mention these before in the past, but it's a digital version of our usually physical conferences. This is the 5th edition. Go and grab some tickets if you're still interested. If you want to know how to make games, market games, create games for different audiences in different parts of the world, we've got just every possible mobile expert will be coming in at some point and either giving a talk or doing a round table or doing a fireside chat, which is kind of a one-to-one convo, which is what Matt will be hosting. It's going to be going for all of next week, so that might slightly interfere with the podcast schedule. We'll see how it goes. And then about a week, there's going to be a week's break, and then the week after we'll do Launchpad. So there'll be a lot of streamery happening. So busy month. But until then, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.